God would do it again. I'm glad God will do it again. Amen. What God has done before, he can do again. And God can even do more than for us than he's ever done if we'll let him do that. Appreciate you singing it for us tonight. What a blessing that was to our hearts. I appreciate the song and the message of it. He'll do it again. I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, I hope you've been today thinking about seeing the invisible, looking beyond this life, and looking beyond what is here physically and seeing the spiritual. And I pray God helped you with that. He certainly spoke to my heart, and I thank him for it and appreciate God doing for us. But tonight, I want to pick up on a different thought and looking in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and we'll start reading at verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. I ask you to stand, please, while we read. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy. Thank God for that mercy and grace, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ may show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I like that. Praise God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you tonight, God, for the privilege of prayer. And we're thinking right now, God, about those that would like to be here and cannot be here. I pray you to help each one. I pray for all those that are sick in nursing homes and at home. And Father, those who have been in accidents, those who have had situations that are bad and sickness in their families, I pray for and ask you in Jesus' name that you minister unto them. And some tonight may be tuned this way. And I pray, God, you bless them and help them. And then, Father, we pray tonight that you would help us as we stand here in this place. You know the needs of every person present. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts. God, those that know not the Lord Jesus may be saved. And those that need encouragement, be encouraged. And challenge us where we need to be challenged. I pray you to have your way. And Father, as we look at this scripture and think about being thankful, I pray in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, you'd help me preach. I sense a special need here tonight. I ask you, Lord, for that divine touch of God. I pray the Holy Spirit would anoint us afresh. Lord, help us. I pray in Jesus' name, God, help us. God, our souls hang in the balance, and I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us, God, say what we need to say. Preach like you want us to preach. And I pray the Holy Spirit take that word of God, seal it to hearts. I pray that some be able to see tonight their need, Lord, realizing blindness. But now I pray, God, that you let them see that they're in a death penalty and need Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, that they might be saved. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for all that you do. We plead the blood of Jesus and thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, how keenly aware I am of the need of the hour, and pray that God would help us in a special way to preach like he wants us to preach and say. I pray that God would help us as we do so and touch our hearts. And we're thinking about being thankful. And I was working on this message, thinking about it. Verse number 12 is going to be our text tonight. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I'm thinking about that verse of scripture as our text. And I started working on an introduction, and the introduction kept expanding. And so I decided I'd preach a message first, then I'll preach an introduction later. Never have done it in reverse before. I have preached the introduction, never got any further, and just preached the message. But this time I felt like God wanted to preach the message tonight. And the introduction we'll try to pick up on later, maybe Wednesday if God will let us, but we'll see. I'm not going to say anything more about letting people know what I'm going to preach. I tell you that right now. Amen. Anybody dig a hole like I dug this morning, be back tonight, I've been a blessed man. Amen. Y'all wasn't here this morning. Y'all just missed a good time. That's all I know to tell you. But anyway, tonight as we look at this and think about it, I pray God will help us in a special way. And I am thankful. And I know that if anything and everything that's happened and whatever we have, whatever's happened to us, everything that we're thankful for is because of the grace of God. If they sang that song a while ago, I'm glad for the grace of God. Thank God for that grace. Look in verse number 13. Now here, Paul, I'm coming back to verse 12. That's my text. But I'm looking at verse 13. Here he is. He's talking about being thankful for what God has done for him. And here he says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. I say hallelujah. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Wasn't that where all of us were? In unbelief, ignorantly doing what we were doing, because we did not know, we were blinded and we could not see and we didn't understand, and so we ignorantly did it, but we obtained mercy. And mercy, thank God for mercy. Then the next verse says, and the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceedingly, the grace of the Lord, our Lord was exceedingly abundant with the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And I'm glad mercy kept me out of hell. Grace takes me to heaven. I'm glad for the grace of God. Grace, unmerited favor of Almighty God. He gives me what I don't deserve. I get to go to heaven when I ought to go to hell. In fact, he is, if I got justice, I'd be in hell burning right now. And you would too. I'm glad God didn't give me justice. Justice called, but on Calvary, mercy answered. And grace said, not so. And I praise God and thank him for it. Amen. Now notice with me tonight, and I'm going to start just giving you a few things I'm thankful for. And we're entering the Thanksgiving season. I got thinking about being thankful and what I've got to be thankful for, and about the meeting we had in revival, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm just thankful what God's doing in my heart this morning. I'm thankful God I met with us. I'm just thankful for God. But I got to looking at verse number 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to park there for a little bit, and I pray God to help me for a few minutes to preach on this subject of what I'm thankful for. But first of all, I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord. I want everyone to please give me undivided attention as we talk about Jesus. He's not a greater subject ever been talked about than Jesus. And I'll never get him expounded. I'll never get it all said. I'll never be able to say what I want to say in this, but I want tonight to do my best by the help of God to preach Jesus Christ to you, and pray that God would help you to understand that Jesus Christ, he is Lord. He is Lord. Now, I'm not just talking about a good prophet. I'm not talking about a great man. I'm not just talking about somebody came into the world and did great things. I'm not just talking about a miracle worker. I am talking about the Lord of glory. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They're three in one. And there's only one God, true and living God. He is Jehovah God. He is God that lives forever and forever, has no beginning, has no end. He manifests himself as Father and as Son and as Spirit. And tonight the Holy Spirit lives within every believer. If you ever really got saved, he came to live on the inside. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Romans chapter 8 says. And so we know the Holy Spirit comes to abide within us. And Jesus said, if I go away, I will send the Comforter to you. And he did. I know Jesus got there because the Holy Ghost got here.
and he lives within me, I know he's here, and I praise God for that. I praise him and thank him. But the only reason why that the Holy Spirit came and dwelt us is because Jesus ascended and is the intercessor at the right hand of the Father tonight. I praise him and I thank him for that truth, that reality. Let's back up a little bit. I want to talk about Jesus. And was his beginning in Bethlehem of Judea? No. He did not begin in Bethlehem of Judea. God became man in Bethlehem of Judea. The Old Testament, all the Old Testament, is the Word of God. God inspired that Word and gave us that Word that we might have. But all through the Old Testament, he's pointing toward a Messiah that would come. And that Messiah did come. But they point Isaiah chapter 53, a great chapter, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. In the book of Psalms, over and over, there are references that is used of Jesus Christ. Even in words that he cried on the cross is recorded in the book of Psalms. And so in the Old Testament, he's pointing to him. In the New Testament, it points to him and back to him. In the Old Testament, forward to him. We look back to him. But it all centers in a person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without him, there is no salvation. And I wish everyone in the house tonight could understand that Jesus Christ is the only way there is to heaven. And I tonight have a burden on my heart, and I'm preaching the way that I am because I want to see everybody know Jesus Christ personally as their Savior and as their Lord. There are those today that they understand that he was a great man, and they understand that he came in the world, and they believe that, a miracle worker. But I want you to know he's God in flesh. God in flesh, and came in the world, and then we enter into the Christmas season, and Brother Tim talking about Jubilee, it'll be here before we know it. Somebody said to me, just reading, I'll be Christmas 5 weeks away. I can't believe that. That don't seem possible. Here it is, Thanksgiving week we're entering into. Doesn't seem possible. Jubilee will be here for long, but Christmas, and we'll be thinking about the birth of Christ and Christ coming into the world. But he didn't come in the world just to do miracles. He didn't come in the world just to be a good man. He didn't come in the world just to set a good example. He came into the world that he may be our Savior and our Lord. He came for that purpose. I want to declare unto you tonight that Jesus Christ came to die at Calvary. And Calvary's death was not an accident. It was not an afterthought that happened. God said that Jesus was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God in his mind knew that Jesus would come and die for our sin before he ever created man. I say hallelujah. He came and he went to the cross of Calvary and died, paid our price, and paid the sin that I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. And thank God through that, I got saved. I'm glad I'm saved, saved, saved. How come you know you're going to heaven? I ought to go to hell. I said a while ago, I deserve to go to hell. I ought to go to hell. But I want you to know because of the love of God, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad it's God's love and God's grace. I didn't get what I deserved. God's mercy cried and I didn't go to hell. God's grace cried and he gave me eternal life in Christ Jesus. And I want you to know in the scripture I read to you tonight in verse 13, who was before. What you were before you got saved, God has put it behind his back. God has chosen to forget it. God has not remembering that. It is gone, gone, under the blood. Hallelujah. Under the blood. And some of you know something happened. Nothing. I'm glad it's under the blood. Hallelujah. Can't hardly stand myself to think about it. And God, I believe when God, the devil, tries to bring something up against me or you, that happened back yonder before we got saved, God looks down and said, I don't even remember that. All I see is the blood. The price has been paid. It's gone forever. Don't bring it up. Amen. Somebody said he dropped my sin. in the sea of his forgiveness and put up a no fishing sign. Don't bring it back up because it's gone forever. Amen. I'm glad it's gone, praise God. Aren't you, remember what you was before you got saved? Aren't you glad you're not that now? And you don't have to think about it. You can put it behind you. And the Eskimos, they didn't have a word for forgotten. I had it wrote down, but I don't have it with me tonight. It's a great big long word. And they wrote it out because they didn't have a word that said forgot. And so here's what it meant. Cannot think of it anymore. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, that's exactly about my sin. God cannot think about it anymore because it's gone. It's gone. In his mind, he took it away. I praise God, it's under the blood. Now, let me just stop him again and tell you how to get saved. Amen. You say, well, preacher, we know how to get saved. Yeah, but everybody in the house don't know how to get saved. If you know how to get saved and you got saved one day, then you praise God you got saved one day. But if you're not saved tonight, I don't tell you how to get saved. I'd just like to tell you how to be saved. You say, preacher, can you know that you're going to heaven? In 1 John chapter 5, he said, these things are written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on me. Now, Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. There's not a half a dozen ways to get to heaven. And it doesn't make any difference how much you believe, what you believe. Unless you believe and trust in Jesus Christ, you cannot go to heaven. And what breaks my heart is people that have been taught and people that have heard other things and have rejected Christ and said no to him. And not in ignorance, as Paul said here, that he was. He didn't understand what he's doing when he was a persecutor and injurious and doing all he's doing. He didn't understand that. He did it in ignorance. And I didn't understand all about being saved. I was ignorant of it. I'd heard about it. I knew something of it, but I didn't know him. And there's a vast difference in knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus personally as your Lord and your Savior. But I was thinking about that, and I used to sit around sometimes or be doing something. I'd be thinking, I wonder if I'm really going to heaven. Am I really going to heaven? And I never could get that peace that settled in my heart. Oh, I'd made a profession, joined the church, but I didn't know I was going to heaven. I did not have that assurance of that salvation. I heard about Jesus. I believe the Bible was the word of God. But I never reached a point. Now get this. I never reached a point where I realized I was going to hell. I was unfit. Nothing good about me. And I'd always look at myself and look around me and I'd find other people. And I think I'm as good as they are. And I probably was. You say, preacher, you bragging on yourself? No. Don't you get this? I was as good as everybody else is because everybody else is no good too. Amen. Hey, nobody's any good in ourselves. The Bible says our hearts are wicked, desperately wicked, and who can know it? And so we're all in the same boat. I was no better off than you was, and you were no better off than I was. And it didn't make any difference how much money you had. It didn't make any difference how poor you were. It didn't make any difference what you knew, how educated you was, how uneducated. All that made no matter. We was all in the same boat, going the same way, and heading to hell. Amen. I was going, you was going, everybody else was going. And you say, preacher, am I really going to hell? If you have never been born again, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. And that's strong language, preacher. Jesus used strong language. He looked at him and said, the way is straight and narrow, and few there be that find it. But broad's the way that leads to destruction, many there be that go in thereat. And tonight I'm trying to tell you, being saved is a real thing. Being born again, it's real, thank God. It's not make-believe, playtime thing. It's not something I'm talking about. I'm just up here saying, I'm not saying what I'm saying tonight just to be saying it. I've got a burden in my heart. I want to see somebody come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. At least when they walk out the doors tonight, they can say, I've heard a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now tonight, I want to impress this upon you. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, it doesn't make a difference what you've heard all your life. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Peter confessed and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't say maybe, it might be a possibility. He said you are. And you have to believe that to be saved. If you don't believe that, you're not saved. You can't be saved. You say, preacher, is that the only way? That's the only way there is. Somebody said, why would God make that the only way? I'm just thankful he made a way. I'm just glad he made some way. Amen. He didn't have to make any way. He could have just said, let them go to hell. And we'd all went to hell. But I'm glad, praise God, had mercy and grace worked. And Calvary came. And Jesus went. And Jesus died. And when he died, he was made sin for us. Who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm going to get to telling you how to get saved in a minute. I'm just trying to get there. But he went to the cross, paid my sin debt in full, marker paid, and thank God I'm saved, saved, saved. But how did I get saved? Well, number one, I saw myself lost. I saw myself, this morning I'm talking about when Elisha prayed for those men blinded, and they blind. They knew they'd blind. They didn't somebody have to tell me blind. But then he prayed for God to open their eyes. And when he opened their eyes, now you have people tell they're not saved or they don't know what you're talking about when you're talking about being saved. And some folk think they're saved and they're not saved. And then these people saved know they're saved. I'm glad I'm in the last category. Amen. I'm saved, know I'm saved. But as you think about that and realize what's being said there, and he said, open their eyes that they may see. They were in the midst of Samaria, and they could have been killed right on the spot. They didn't have any hope if somebody didn't plead for them, if somebody didn't help them. Well, Elisha stepped in, and he said, don't kill them. Let's put bread and water before them. Let's help them. And he let them live and then turned them loose and set them free. That's what happened in salvation. I saw myself lost and going to hell. Number two, I saw Jesus Christ as the only way I could get me out of that. I tried being good. I tried going to church. I tried doing better. I tried turning over so many new leaves. I run out of leaves to turn over. I tried tithing. I tried giving to the poor. I'd poor myself, but I'd give to the poor anyhow. And some people I found poor and I was. So I try to give something to them. I try to help them. And I tried this. And I try to straighten up and do better. I try to read the Bible. I try to go to church and I try to get like the rest of them, you know. Somebody got happy. I never did do that, but I'd look at them and think, I wonder what they got. Amen. And I'd see that and I'd sense in church the presence of God, but I didn't know. I did not know exactly what that meant. I could not get a hold of it. But I saw myself lost. And I saw Jesus Christ as the only answer there was. And he died for my sin. Paid my price. And that I could never be good enough to get to heaven. And if I ever got there, God was going to have to do something in me to save me so I could go to heaven. I reached a point where I realized the fact I couldn't play church anymore. And boy, I used to play it. Amen. And then there's some tonight here. You're not playing church. And you're not really playing anything. You're trying to hear truth. And you want to hear truth. And you want to go to heaven. And want heaven to be your home. Let me tell you, when I saw myself lost and I realized I didn't have any real hope outside of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit was dealing with my heart and began to tug at me. And I knew I needed something. And when I walked down that aisle, knelt there at that altar, and I cried to God. I cried like a baby. I cry when I get happy or sad, or I'm just bad to cry. I say bad to cry. I don't think it's bad to cry. I pray, God, sometime let me cry. Amen. Just let me cry. But I wept, and I wept, and I asked God. And the preacher took the word of God and said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and he talked to me about believing that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. and that he died for me, and that he rose from the dead, and thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And so as I bowed, I asked God to save me. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I did all I knew to do. I gave myself on the altar best I knew how. And the preacher explained to me that it wasn't what I could do nor how I could do good or anything. It's just trust in Christ. And for the first time in my life, I realized and took a step of faith and believed that I was saved and trusted Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And I got saved. And I got saved. How did you get saved? By a step of faith. I believed what God said. I just stepped by faith and said, I believe what God said. Now, I didn't see any stars. They weren't in lightning bolts to go off. I didn't jump any pews. I didn't turn any flips. I wept. But I knew one thing. There was something happened down inside of me that I could not explain. Hey, something moved in that wasn't there before. And I knew I was a new creature, but I didn't understand it. I just knew something happened. I lived in a rented house and had a stoker stove and a furnace in the basement of it. You put coal in that stoker stove, and I had to go outside to get to it. I walked out the back door walking around just a few days, the following week after I got saved. And I was walking around, I was thinking, now, am I really saved? And I started rehearsing some things in my mind. All of a sudden, God reached down the depths of my soul. Hallelujah. I say, whoo, I praise God. I knew something happened to me down inside, and God just sealed it right in there. And I said, whoo, glory to God. I know I'm saved. I've done everything I can do, Lord. I can't do anything else. I just went down the basement, started shoveling coal, and said, whoo, whoo, hallelujah, amen. I say, praise God. I'm glad I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. God saved me by his marvelous grace. I got him by grace. Now, that's what happened down here on earth. Over in heaven, Jesus at the right hand of the Father was pleading my case. And as I knelt to pray and ask God to save me, Jesus is over there saying, Father, I died for him. I paid his price. He's not guilty. I've already paid his price. Put bread and water out there before him. I give him some bread of life. Let that fountain flow on the inside. I take away that burden of sin. I died for him. And the Father looked down and said, all I can see is the blood of my Son and his righteousness. Write his name down. Amen. He's mine. Hallelujah. And the devil had to flee and flee and flee. And I shouted glory, hallelujah, my soul, and say praise God tonight. I believe I'll just shout out loud, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. Saved, saved, saved. God bless your heart, amen. Praise God, I'm saved. I was telling somebody today, Sister McIntosh reminds me somewhat of my Granny Heath. I remember her in a little white boarded church. She'd throw a bonnet in there and praise God. Hallelujah. He's worthy of that praise. Amen, I don't have a bonnet on. She don't either. I looked at my great-grandbaby, she'd had a bonnet, I'd borrowed it. Amen. And just throw it in the air and said, hallelujah. And praise God, it's real to be saved. You say, preacher, you're crazy. I may be crazy as this world's eyes, but I want you to know I know a lot more and then this world knows it's not saved. I know Jesus. When you know him, hallelujah. Praise God and the Lamb forever. You know somebody. I know I'm saved. I know if I had to go out of here, if you're getting word tonight that Ray Stewart has died, don't you believe it. I won't be dead. To die is to be separated from God. If I leave out of here, I'll be separated from the body. I'll be separated from you, but I won't be separated from God. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you're present with the Lord, how can you be dead? Hallelujah. This old body, you'd put it in the ground, do what you want to with it. But I'll be over yonder waiting for you on the other side and pray to God that you get saved and come and go with me all the way to glory. Are you saved? Are you saved tonight? Now, God stirred my heart. I was sitting over yonder Something this morning, anyway, that's a long story. Last night and today, I've been thinking about it. And this morning, I tried my best to do what God wanted me to do. And tonight, I've done the same thing. I've tried to obey God. Because I know folk need to hear about being saved. How sad it is that some precious folk have heard about God, but do not know how to get to God. They know about God. They know about the Bible, but do not know Jesus Christ personally. How sad. I remember one time I was preaching for, I believe it was Don Farmer, in a tent meeting. Might have been Ken Murray, I don't know, was preaching in a tent meeting. And over in the edge of West Virginia. And we preached that night, and God wonderfully blessed. There's a elderly lady came, and she said, I want to get saved. I want to get saved. And she gloriously got saved that night. And after we got through, people were testifying. She said, I'm 86 years old. But said, I know Jesus as my Savior, my Lord. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. How good it is to know that you can know that you know that you're saved. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege, God, to endeavor to share the Word of God. Lord, this thing of being saved, confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and by faith receiving Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. I pray tonight there'd not be a person that would leave this house unsaved. Lord, may the Holy Spirit make it real. And I realize, Lord, that my words may stutter and stammer, but thy word is eternal truth, forever settled in heaven. It will not return void. It will accomplish wherein that you send it. So I pray tonight, precious folk over this house have heard, and I pray the Holy Spirit now do a work in their heart. Father, I pray there not be a person that would leave here unsaved, but may they come to Jesus. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you look this way,